Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Ready for the word? Everyone say word? All right, so here's the deal. Last Thursday, so George and I, if I seem like I'm dragging my feet today, I've been dragging my feet all week. We had an incredible Sunday last Sunday. We then went into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of state conference, then went from there. We didn't come home. We're in the city. We stayed in the city. Then we went out to Yarra Glen or Yarra Valley or Yarra in the river, Yarra. I don't know where we were. And we went to a wedding out there. It was incredible. And then we've come back around. But here's the thing. When we're at the wedding, so we're at the wedding and had a wonderful wedding in the chapel. It was a beautiful time. And then from there, we walked up the hill to where the reception was going to take place. Now, we've walked up in front of the main reception room. We're walking along, and there's about 140, 160 of us, something like that. We're all walking along, and then we get to stop. So how many of you know it's good to stop in life occasionally? And so we got to stop. We pull up right here. What I didn't realize is where I pulled up was where the doors were going to open and all the hors d'oeuvres were going to come out as they served all the people out here. So I have stood right in front of the main door. How many of you know favor ain't fair? You know what I'm saying? I pull up right here. I had no idea. The next minute, the doors open, and what comes out? Calamari, praise God. Let's give it up for the octopus. You should put up All right, so calamari comes out, and then what are those little balls with the cheese in them? Arancini balls? Praise God. How many of you love them? I don't know who Arancini was, but I got to tell you, they were awesome. You know what I'm saying? They are beautiful. The cheese melts and explodes everywhere. It's incredible. And then there was all sorts of sausage, and there was chicken. Praise God for the chicken. Chicken. How many of you love chicken? Well, we've done this one before. You know I love chicken. How do we know God is not a vegetarian? Because if he was, he wouldn't have made animals out of meat. Moving right along. So I'm there, and these kids are bringing me food. I'm standing right here, the doors are here. And so this is what I did. Because I was thankful, how many of you know it's good to be thankful in life? Because I was thankful, guess what? The waitresses and waiters, they just kept bringing me food. How many of you know it's a good thing to be thankful? And so they would step out. I would tell every one of them personally, and I meant it in the moment, you're my favorite. You're my favorite. And they would go, oh, and they would give me food, and then they would walk off, and the next one would come out, you're my favorite. How many of you know it's a good thing to be thankful? When you're thankful, the blessing of God is going to continue to come your way. When you're thankful, how many of you know good things are going to come to you? When you're thankful, you will warm people's hearts, and they're going to be kind towards you. So I'm just being thankful, and the blessing of God kept on coming. And I got to tell you, I thank God for it. Now, you might be like, no, that's not the blessing of God. I tell you, if you had that calamari, you would know it's a blessing of God right there. Psalm chapter 16, verse 6 says, this is what it says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Everyone say pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, good places. It's a good space to be in. I pull up in front of the door. It was the most joyous space. I got to tell you, I could have stayed all there all night. In fact, Georgie, why don't we go back there this afternoon before the 5 o'clock service and just see what happens. We were there and the goodness of God just kept on coming. Praise God as the scripture has gone away. But how many of you know what it says there? The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. How many of you would like a delightful inheritance? Praise God. At least 50 of you. I don't know about, I want a delightful inheritance. I want it all, and I want it now, if you know what I'm saying. I do, I want it all. I want everything God has got for me and maybe even a little bit more. I can take it all, take it all, because I got to tell you, I've got so much life to live, I need it all. I need every good thing that God is going to bring my way that I can give it away and give it away and give it away. And I believe the more I give away, the more God is going to pour back in. And everybody said, amen. Friends, if you belong to Christ today, understand this, you have an unfair advantage. Did you get that? You have an unfair advantage for the lines, the parameters and boundaries that the Lord desires to draw around you will cause your land to be a delightful land. God wants to draw lines around you, and within that space and place, He wants it to be a delightful land. He wants it to be a place of joy and a place of blessing. God loves you, loves you, loves you so, so much. Now, I'm sure that everyone in the room would have heard this saying, favor ain't fair. How many of you have heard that said? Favor ain't fair. And to be honest, I don't know whether it is or it's not, but there's one thing I'm convinced of, and it's simply this: favor is real. I don't know whether favor is fair or not. Sometimes it doesn't seem fair. Sometimes it seems perfectly fair. But I do believe that favor is real, absolutely real. And the Lord's desire is that His favor would invade every part and every arena of our life. How many of you have got different parts, different arenas, different spaces, different places in your life? How many of you know God wants to invade it all with His favor? He wants to pour His favor out upon you. I don't know about you, but if I was hearing this, I would be way more excited than some of you look right now. And then you might say, yes, come on. We need to believe. I don't know about you. I want the favor of God. I want the joy of the Lord. I want every good thing God's got coming my way. How many of you know the promises of God? They are yours with a what? A yes and an amen. Yes and amen. That's why we can't come to church and sit there and just, no. We need to be engaged in the word, receiving the word, embracing the word, yesing and amening the word, because if you can receive it by faith, how many of you know you can have it? According to the pastor's faith will be done unto you. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says according to your faith will it be done unto you. And if that's the case, if you're talking about favor, Shane, I want it. If you're talking about blessing, Shane, I want it. If you're talking about pleasant places, I want it. If you're talking about a delightful land, I want it. And everybody said, amen. All right. So God wants to pour out favor into every part of your life. Rio says that I've got car park favor. Car park favor. How many of you got a car that you love? Give me a wave if you got a car you love. Praise God. How many of you know that because you're in Christ, you can actually have car park favor? Some of you are like, say what? That's right. You can have car park favor. What does the Bible say? According to your faith will be done unto you. Some of you are like, I don't believe in car park favor. You're not going to get that car park I am. How many of you know it's true? That's true. If you're not believing for it, you're not going to get it. Some of you are like, you disqualify yourself from the blessing of God simply because you won't believe for it. I believe God is concerned about every part of my life. Therefore, I've got car park favor. Some of you know I've got an old car. I don't like to park my old car out of sight when I go out. I want to park my car right out the front of the cafe. Now, how many of you know sometimes it's like when the streets are packed, when it's Friday night, when it's Saturday morning, and everybody's out. Everybody's busy. It's like there's not a park left in the street. But how many of you know I got my car park? I want my car park and I want it right out the front. Now you might be like, I promise you, as I say this, some of you are thinking, Shane, God does not care about your car that much to organize everybody around you getting a car park. And I would say, true. God does not care about my car enough, but God cares about me enough, and He knows that I care about my car. Because the truth is this, I do not want to park my car. I live in the western suburbs where you live. I do not want to park my car up the road because someone from the north is going to come and steal it. You know what I'm saying? You know I speak the truth. And I said to them exactly the same thing. Someone from the west, because we don't steal cars from our own suburbs. We go other places. Tony taught me that. Tony taught me that. I would not know about these things. But how many of you know, we don't want to park, I don't want to park my car up the road. I don't want some bozo coming along and scratching it because they would like a car like this, so I'm going to scratch someone else's. I don't want my car getting stolen. So it's not actually about the car from God's point of view, it's about me. Because He knows if I'm preparing a sermon, I don't want to be distracted thinking about my car. He knows if I'm just enjoying myself. How many of you know it's okay to enjoy yourself? God wants me to be able to sit there in peace and enjoy my latte and look upon her beauty. And her beauty. And it's like, God wants me to be able to do that and just enjoy life. And everybody said, Amen. So God's not necessarily into my car, but he's into me. And because he's into me, he's going to provide a car spot. So this is what I do. Typically, when I'm about 7 minutes away from where I need a car spot, I will start praying. You're like, why don't you start praying half an hour? Because I don't need the car spot then. I need it to be then. So when I'm 7 minutes away, that gives a person just enough time to finish their latte, hop up, go and pay for it, walk out, hop in their car. And as they pull out, I drive in. How many of you know it's a plan? You've got to have a plan. Praise God. I got a plan. And God steps in because he cares about me, not necessarily about my car. Friends, I know this is doing some of you, it's like you can't get this because it's like, I thought no one's dying. That's right, no one's dying. No marriage is falling apart. No marriage is falling apart. He cares for you. He cares about the little things. He cares about the big things. He cares about all the things because he cares for you. He cares for you. Some of you are like, I don't get that, and I just don't believe in it. Like I said, I'll have your car spot. That's okay. But I promise you this, according to your faith, it will be done to you. So therefore, if you can believe for it, I'm believing for God to come into every part of my life, into my emotions, into my soul, into my spirit, into my marriage, into my children, into my family, into my dogs, my ugly dogs. One of them pooed in my wardrobe. Georgie. You got to train them better, baby. I walked in this morning. I walked out with it all over my shoe. Oh. See, that dog, it needs the Lord. What sort of dog would do that to its master? But it did it. It needs more of Jesus. I'm believing for God to invade my dogs. I'm just believing for God. Anyone else here believing for God? I'm just believing for God to come into every part of my life. Every part of my life. The favor of God has caused my life to land in pleasant places. Not because I'm good, because he's good. He's caused my life to land in pleasant places. Whether we be talking marriage, family, finances, health, ministry, dogs, or just the desires of my heart. The boundaries have fallen in pleasant places for me. I remember having someone from church about 8 or 9 years ago. They asked to see me. If you know who I am, typically I make myself as available as I possibly can. Anybody can see me. And I don't know that I'd caught up with this particular brother before, but he really wanted to see me. So I said, all right, let's go. So I pulled up in my favored car spot. And so I walked straight inside and we sat down. And as we sat down, he just launched in and he says, Shane, you always get what you want. And I took it as a compliment. I was silly enough to believe it was a positive statement. Just so you know, I don't always get what I want. I'm still believing for it, but I haven't arrived yet. You heard me speak a sermon a few weeks ago simply called Perhaps. And we read from Hebrews chapter 11 where it says that no one, even in Hebrews 11, which is a faith chapter, received everything they were believing for. No one received every promise that was made, yet they continued to believe. And so while this brother, he says, Shane, you always get what you want. And I thought about it and I thought, hasn't the Lord been good? As in, I got to tell you, if you say something like that to me, I'm going to give all the praise to God. Because it is true, my life has landed in a delightful space. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 12, it says, then all the nations will call you. What are they going to call you? Who's going to call you that? All the nations, all your family, all your work colleagues, all your football club friends, the Mighty Richmond Football Club, whoever it may be, they are going to call you. You can do better than that. They're going to call you. Blessed. They're going to call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. They're going to call you blessed. Why are they going to call you blessed? Because they can see the blessing of God upon your life. I don't know about you. As in, I love the fact that everyone knows we're blessed. You look at our marriage. We're blessed. Look at our beautiful kids. They're blessed. Our ugly dogs. We're blessed. It's like, I got no problem with it. You should want the blessing of God to be so real and evident in your life that all the world can see it and say, man, yours is a delightful land. In Ezekiel 34, verse 14, it says, then the Lord says here, yes, I will give them good pasture land. Who's going to give you good pasture land? The Lord. On the high hills of Israel, there they will lie down in pleasant places and feed in lush mountain pastures. I got to tell you, I don't know about you, I get excited about this. This is what God wants for his children. So when my brother says, Shane, you always get what you want, My response was simple. Yes, the Lord has been so, so good to us. The Lord has been so, so good to me. To which he let me know in no uncertain terms that he did not like it. I'm like, what's the matter with you? He's upset because we're blessed. He's upset because ours is a delightful land. He's upset because it seems from a distance that we always get what we want. We don't always, but it seems like, man, yours is a delightful land, and he's getting upset. John 3 verse 2 says, Beloved, this is the heart of God right here. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. How many of you know God wants your soul to prosper? God wants your physical being to prosper. God wants you to prosper in all things. You say, Shane, how do I know that? How do you know that? Because I just read it from the Bible. It's the Bible. It's not like some people say, oh, I'm not too sure about prosperity teaching. This is not prosperity teaching. This is Bible. This is Bible. As I've said, we've already read the balance of that, which is Hebrews chapter 11, where people were tortured and sawn in two. So no one gets everything they want. It's a walk of faith. But I got to tell you, if you want me to stand up and preach poverty, I ain't ever going to do that. I'm going to teach the promises of God, yes and amen, and we receive him in Jesus Christ. So what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about my life? What does the Bible say about your marriage? What does the Bible say about your children? What does the Bible say about your finances? What does the Bible say? Because this is our book, and I'm always going to teach it, and I'm never going to stop preaching it, because this is our authority. I pray, and I pray for you, my brothers and my sisters. You are my family. I pray for you that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So how sad it is when Jesus has given it all that we might find ourselves in a good and delightful land, that brothers and sisters, because of wrong teaching and wrong doctrine and wrong mindsets, want to drag us back to their dry and barren and desolate places. It shouldn't be this way. To be honest, I thought my brother, when he looks across the table and says, you always get what you want, I thought the next line to come out of his mouth was going to be, teach me, show me, how can I enjoy such a life? I thought that's what he was going to say. But no, he did not say that. And that's not where the conversation went. It went in a completely different direction. But friends, I can tell you the truth. I will always stand before you, and I will do my best to teach you and show you how you can have life and have it to the full, because that's what Jesus promises. I promise you, I will always endeavor to teach you how you might possess all the promises of God in Jesus' wonderful name. So if you've come to church today, give me a wave if you have come to church today. All right, praise God. All right, just want to make sure we're here. All right, so if you've come to church today, and as yet, because I know some of you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You're still journeying through there. I know some of you are coming, you've left Egypt, and you're still on your way through the wilderness, but you're stretching for your promise. So as yet, you haven't got there. If you're in church today and as yet you've not possessed your delightful land or inherited your pleasant places, understand this. Get ready for this. You ready for this? All right, thanking God because my lines have fallen in pleasant places. But understand this. In Christ, through Christ, you can change where the line is lying. You might be like, say what? That's right. In Christ and through Christ, you can change where the line is lying. You can actually move your lines, stretch out your boundaries so that more and more pleasant places fall within the territory of pleasantness. Psalm chapter 16, verse 6, the boundary lines have fallen for me in what places? Say it loud. How many of you want pleasant places? All right. So the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. But if they're not where we'd like them to be, what do we do if they're not where we'd like them to be? Truth is, we can complain and whinge and become bitter and twisted towards God and those who are enjoying the goodness of God, his favor? Or do we press into his presence and seek out wisdom as to how to extend the parameters of our life and our existence? Now, some of you will be like, at the thought of this, you'll be like, can we really do this? Can we really enlarge the parameters and the dimensions of our lives in Christ? And to that, I say, yes, we can. Everyone say, yes, we can. We're going to make the kingdom great again. Yes, we can. All right. It's a little bit different, you know what I'm talking about. All right. Some of you do say, have me a cheeky, cheeky brother. All right, whatever. We can. Isaiah 54. How many of you love Isaiah 54? Oh, my Lord. Some of you, get ready. You ready? All right, here we go. Isaiah 54, verse 2. Enlarge the place of your... All right. Enlarge the place of your... Miss Youth Leader, do you want to have another go? Just have another go. Praise God. And what Bible college was it that you went to? As in, I put it on the screen. You just had to read what was on the screen. But no, you throw out something else. All right. All right, come and read it. Come on. Let's give it up for Mel. All right, Isaiah 54. How many of you love Isaiah 54? Yeah. All right, and it says,
enlarge the place of your tent.
Oh, yes. Yes, enlarge the place of your... How many of you know your tent is where you live? Your tent is where you dwell. Your tent is where your family is, your marriage is, your little pot of money is. It's like, that's where it's all in your tent. That's where you park your car, in your tent. You know, I do anyway. That's like, enlarge, everyone say enlarge? Enlarge the place of your tent. All right, tell me this. How many of you think God is a sadist? Imagine Father, Son, Holy Spirit in heaven. Hey, you want to have some fun with the kids today? Jesus says, yeah, Dad, what do you want to do? Well, why don't we tell them to go do something they can't do? How many of you know that's not God? That's sick. That's sick. As in Father, Son, Holy Spirit just messing with their heads. No, no, no. Father, Son, Holy Spirit saying, hey, we want our children to be blessed. We love our kids. Like, Jesus, you're going to go. You're going to lay down your life for them. Let's begin to even teach them now. I know you haven't gone yet, but let's begin to teach them now. All right, so enlarge. So God says to you, God says to me, God has said to the generations, we need to hear it. Enlarge. Everyone say enlarge. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Everyone say stretch. How many of you know? How many of you have joined a gym recently? We have. Georgie was funny. She went to the gym. Then she couldn't walk for 3 days. How many of you know that's funny for me? Poor girl walking down the stairs. Ah! Just stretching. How many of you know? Some of you don't want to stretch because you've got pain, because you tried to stretch, and your memory won't allow you to stretch again. Can I encourage you? Stretch again. Stretch again. Stretch again. Everyone say stretch. All right. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Don't hold back now. Lengthen your cord. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. Church, can I encourage you today? Don't be afraid. No, 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 no. Don't allow fear to stop you. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. So there have been times when I didn't find my life falling in pleasant places, where parts of my life wouldn't have been described as being in a delightful land. So I had a choice. I could have got bitter and twisted and bent out of shape, but I chose rather to enlarge and to stretch and to lengthen and strengthen the boundaries and the lines of my life. And you can too. And I want to encourage you to. And so I know what you're wondering. So how do we do that? I'm so glad you asked. All right. I'm going to teach you now how to do that. How many of you want to know how to do that? Praise God, 4 of you. How many of you want to know how to do that? All right, I want to teach you. I want you to do well. I want you to do well because God wants you to do well. All right, listen to this. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Do not, do not, do not. Everyone say, do not, do not, do not. How many of you know when you say it three times, it's an emphasis? It's like when Jesus says, surely, surely. At first, I used to read it as surely. I thought there's a surely in the Bible, but it's a surely moving right along. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Day and night. That's most of the time. Day and night. So that you may be careful to do. To do. You've got to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. People have an issue with prosperity. It's like, then you will be prosperous and successful. God wants you to know how to be prosperous and successful. God wants you to live a blessed life. He wants you to live in pleasant places. He wants you to be able to lay down in pleasant places. He wants you to have a delightful land. He teaches us how to do it. How do we do it? Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Can I ask you a question? Are we speaking it or are we eating it? Simple question. Are we speaking it? Or are we eating it? How many of you love the word? Love the word. How many of you know you've got to devour it? You've got to devour it. It's alive. Sometimes you just got to go in there and just read it, read it, read it. Tear out a page. Tear out a page. Eat it. Just eat it. Some of you are like, did he just tear a page out of his Bible? Not the whole page. Just scoop me up. I wouldn't eat it all. How many of you know you've got to eat the word? Consume the word. Sound like Sean Connery. You got to eat the word. You got to consume the word. You got to partake the word. A lot of people want to speak it but have never eaten it. They have a head knowledge but not a revelation. God wants you to have a revelation. To get revelation, you need to partake. You need to abide in it and let it abide in you. So when you open your mouth and begin to speak, you speak with conviction and authority in the knowledge of the word rather than just a, I think. God doesn't want us to think. He wants us to partake and consume the word. So we want to get to a place where we've consumed it, where it's become part of us. Then we can speak it out. We can meditate upon it. Be careful to do everything in it. If you want your life to go from an average life to a pleasant life, if you want your marriage to go from average to pleasant, your finances average to pleasant, your physical health to go from average to pleasant, your finances average to pleasant, we need to consume this book. Eat it. Eat it. Then we need to be thinking about it. Thinking, thinking. Speaking, speaking. Doing, doing. Living, living. I promise you, when you do this, you will actually move the boundaries. You'll move the lines. And you'll find yourself going from a dry place to a pleasant place. You'll find yourself going from a desolate place to a fruitful place. Friends, I can promise you, I promise you, I promise you, with all that I am, God wants you to live in a delightful land. He loves you, He loves you, He loves you.